All right, can you hear me now? Okay. All right, I'll greet people and then we'll get started. So greet the people on Zoom and then the people on the Zendo will say their names and we'll repeat. So starting with Bob, Kay, Yashetsoki, Tyler, Lori, Dave Q, Coral, Carson, Joan, Susan, Marv, Ellen, Jeff, Alice, Chris, Betty, Paulette, Jinryu, Joshua, Franklin and Sabrina, and in the Zendo, Walt, Mark, Dennis, Vikas, Erica, Judith, Domio. Let's see, in terms of announcements, a one day retreat Saturday. If you want to come in person, please register. Just then we know, whether we've checked your vaccination ahead of time. We don't have to worry about it the day of. But part time or full time is fine, and you can participate online as well. The schedule is laid out with re recommendations for how you might want to incorporate the schedule into your day at home. So that's actually very sweet practice. You do your own work practice in your own home and all that. And let's see. So we got the results of our poll about COVID and masking. And, we're deciding that we're going to go. Take advantage of this little window of time, perhaps, to make masks optional, starting with that one day retreat on Saturday and then continuing on Sunday. The board will be watching closely if conditions change, if recommendations change, certainly if any mandates change. We will change what we do and just be flexible about it. And I found these beautiful signs from Oregon Health Authority that say, your mask is welcome here. And has this sweet sign that says, we support your choice to wear a mask. So hopefully, anyone who feels like they're safe enough to attend, but they would prefer to wear a mask anyway, I hope that they will feel very comfortable doing so. Yeah, I think that is all. Any questions about any of that or anything else that I've forgotten to announce? There are many volunteer roles that are we are in need of having filled lately. There are online roles, there's Zoom host roles, there's people who record the classes and the talks and post them on the website, people who come onto Zoom early and greet people as they come on, there's people who recite the chants and stuff like that. Also at the Zendo, we are in need, if you are somebody who comes in personally, really love to get a rota of Zoom tech people, or maybe we should just say tech people, because otherwise, I mean, unless there's a couple people who will come in and do this for me, but otherwise, in addition to coming and just everything else, I'm firing up the computers and firing up Zoom and starting the speaker and all that kind of stuff, and It's tricky because I should be showing other people how to do it, but it's a bit of a task that actually we should probably, meet separately, get a training, and there's instructions. So if you're interested in that kind of thing, just, send me an email saying I do have some volunteer energy and let me know. And I know some of you have volunteered for things and we still haven't gotten around to like training you how to do it. Our apologies, I'm trying to get the board really identified at our last strategic planning meeting that this is one of the challenges of our Sangha is we have a kind of a bottleneck, right? A lot of it still just goes through me. I have to show everybody how to do everything, and I only have so much time. So ideally, I start, really delegating that out in a more permanent way, so then there becomes people in the Sangha who can train other people, and all expands from there, which we were moving in that direction before COVID. Anyway, we'd do our best. So tonight, we have a precept class, and Yeshe Tsoki will be leading us. So just hold on for a moment, Yeshe, while I leave audio in this computer and join it on the other one.
Okay, I think that's the thumbs up for blast off. Thanks, Bob. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. Tonight we're going to look at the three pure precepts. I facilitated two other classes. One was on not killing, the other one was on not indulging anger. And I have to say, when I did this one, I got really excited. I probably have too much material, but this one just, I don't know, it was like a rocket for me. I've often wondered what makes the precepts, particularly the grave precepts, distinct from other ethical guidelines, say the Ten Commandments. For me, the difference is Dogen's addition of the three refuges and the three pure precepts. First, they are what make these ethical guidelines, particularly Soto Zen. Second, the three refuges, Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, organically spill into and infuse the three refuge precepts. Third, together they lay the scaffolding for and show us the process for navigating the grave precepts and becoming awake Buddhas. Diane Eshin Risotto shared a practice principle that's recited at the Ordinary Mind Zen School in her book, Waking Up to What We Do. And it's like this: caught in a dream of self, only suffering, holding to self-centered thoughts, exactly the dream. Each moment, life as it is, the only teacher. Being just this moment, compassion's way. And then I've added on each moment, life as it is, the only teacher. That's the Dharma. And being just this moment, compassion's way. That's Kanzian and stillness. Risotto adds, the way to arouse ourselves from this dream is to hear the wake-up calls in the most ordinary everyday events, in the Dharma, entering the Dharma gates. It is in the spirit of this awakening that we take up the way of the precepts. My resources are Risotto, but primarily I've used Kjogen Carlson's precept study guides, and You Are Still Here, and also a little bit of Roshi Uchiyama. I'm not saying his name right. Apologies to Roshi. In You Are Still Here, Kjogen Carlson relates each of the three pure precepts to the energy of one of three bodhisattvas, Kanzian, Fudo Mayo, and Manjushri, which respectively are on the right, left, and main altars of Zen centers, in the Dharma Rain lineage, including Bright Way Zen. For me, inclusion of these bodhisattvas clarifying our taking refuge in the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. These archetypal energies also give us support for living the precepts with integrity towards waking up if we vow to seek and resonate with their guidance. They guide us from having Zen be a perpetual self-improvement course to living a life of true service. So what are the three pure precepts? One, cease from evil. Release all self-attachment. This is the house of all the ways of Buddha. This is the source of all the laws of Buddhahood. This first pure precept is inviting us to align with the all-accepting, all-welcoming energy of Kanzian, also known as Avalokiteshvara. This is the bodhisattva of deep listening and boundless compassion. Kanzian is total acceptance of all that is and the mind of quote unquote with or together. Kanzian has 1,000 heads and arms to do all the work to free all beings. Consider every action you do as an extension of a limb of Kanzian. Resting in the energy of Kanzian is to be swaddled in the unrippled stillness of complete acceptance and compassion, first towards self, then towards all that is. Kanzian is letting go of all that obscures Buddha nature. This is taking refuge in the Buddha. Here, all self-indulgence is seen for what it is, just that, and not inflated into reactivity directed towards self or others. The constriction of habits falls away as we drop deeper into the expansiveness of Buddha mind and recognize that we too are inherently Buddha. Then we see the possibility of living as Buddha in each gray precept. Cease from evil. What is evil? In the Gata of Atonement, we recite, all evil karma ever committed by me since of old, now I atone for it all. Evil is the practice of any self-indulgent behavior, behavior arising from self-attachment. It is the adverse habitual energy of me, myself, and I that clouds Buddha nature. Some of it arises from personal karma, some from cultural karma. What is self-attachment? Self-attachment is any form of preferential resistance to what is. It manifests in a long list of behaviors such as, but not limited to, the illusions of self-blame, self-praise, spreading blame, not hearing praise, personal triumph or disaster, all-knower mind, being the comfort sponge, I'll meditate later, and then plopping like a cold lump of mashed potatoes into a couch in front of the TV, maintaining the status quo, procrastination, pushing, perfectionism, exploding emotions all over someone else, imploding, micromanaging, keeping focus on other people's business to avoid our own, judging, comparing, belittling, criticizing, self-pity, learned helplessness, I'll never be able to change, what I do doesn't matter, apathy, hopelessness, glazing over, having all-knowing mind, self-grandiosity, superiority, inferiority, basically, having requirements on ourself and the world, should, must, never, always, rationalization, addictive behaviors, magical thinking, entitlement and racial supremacy, slander, lying, stealing, killing, global domination rather than stewardship, and all the behaviors addressed in the 10 precepts. It's a huge list and it's not complete. And I can say that I can identify with many things on that list. So cease from evil. That's what evil is. Cease from evil in this first pure precept means interrupting and gradually stopping the habitual adverse karmic response. It means stopping action in word, thought, or deed that arises from self-attachment. Just don't do it. In the first pure precept, cease from evil invites us to stop all self-indulgent behaviors. just let it go. In stillness, we accept that things are just as they are. We study ourselves and recognize our own strengths, weaknesses, and preferences without identifying with them. At the same time, we forget the self and recognize we are more than this. We are Buddhas. So we study ourselves, literally, as Dogen says, to forget the self. Cessation means to drop the reactive struggle against this and that. How do we accept things as they are? Kanzian is compassion. Compassion is letting go. Letting go is acceptance. We accept with complete open-handedness and unknowing mind whatever arises. Just this. You don't even have a tiny soft fist, just complete open-handedness. In the moment of just this, we are empowered with clarity, creativity, and choices. Shogun says, there is power in the action not taken, especially in not acting out of adverse habitual patterns. Just stopping can have enormous impact. In Waking Up to What You Do, Diane Eshin Rizzetto describes in the chapters called Dead Spot and the Process, methods for gradually dismantling and letting go of self-indulgence. We practice to observe and release self-indulgent impulses that arise within us and bring our practice into our lives. We learn to observe and accept what has arisen in the moment on the imaginary screen of our internal projectors without even subtle resistance or attachment. With the compassion of Kanzian, we rest in stillness, in non-action, the seed position, what Rizzetto calls the dead spot. Resting in Kanzian stillness, we offer tender, intimate curiosity to whatever arises, as though calming an infant or wooing a wild animal to eat from our hands. Thus, we are able to face our deepest fears and beliefs. We challenge our assumptions. We question the veracity of our self-talk. We drop our stories and break loose of our self-defenses. Habit energy must be undone bit by bit. We accept what arises as just this. The stillness of the lake is one with the ripples of the leaping fish. I had some examples of what I did, but I think I'm going to wait to the end because I don't know how the time is going to go. But I will share one example. If anybody has something they can hold, a pen, a pencil, a piece of paper, if you could just put it out in your hand like this and just hold it. Maybe you have just this gentlest little fist around it. Now, what I'd like you to do is just open your hand and turn it over. That's letting go. That's letting go. And yet we have all this Velcro and all this buttoning to ourselves, and we keep holding on. We turn our hands and we don't let it go. It's still there. Continuing with the first pure precept, what is the house of all the laws of Buddha? Coming back to the center means taking refuge in the Buddha, in clarity. Taking refuge in Buddha, we recognize our own Buddha nature. Here we rest in awareness of the endless flow of sensations and life within us and experience our boundlessness and connection with all life around us. We are infused with the expansive spaciousness that is the house of all the ways of Buddha and is the source of all the laws of Buddhahood. Then, from the clarity of Buddha perspective, we choose how to optimally engage with life in that moment, what to let go of, what to embrace. From Buddha Refuge, a place of acceptance and just this, we can shift to doing good, which is the second pure precept. So the second pure precept is do only good, take selfless action, and it has two parts. The second part is the Dharma of the Samyaku Sambodhi is the Dharma of all existence, never apart from each from the present moment. Do only good, take selfless action. Chogyam says, this is partly paraphrased, partly quote, moving from compassion, which is letting go, we drop our self-attachment. That's doing good. So all we have to do, drop our self-attachment, we have ceased evil, and that's doing good. Suddenly, there's the option of a totally new way of doing something. We take a step that is outside of the pattern. That's what doing good is. Choose, cease from the pattern. Do something new. This leads to doing good, loving kindness, which is paying attention to others, embracing all things and conditions. Selfless action is, quote unquote, one moment of liberation. Chogyam relates the second pure precept to the energies of Fudo Mayo, and I might not be saying his name correctly. In the Dharma Rain specific lineage, Fudo replaces Samantabhadra or Fugen. Fugen is placed on the left altar, and you'll note that at Bright Way Zen. Fudo is the immovable wisdom king. He's a guardian deity. With sword of wisdom in his right hand, he cuts through delusion and ignorance. With rope in his left hand, he leads those ruled by violent passions and emotions onto a correct path. Surrounded by flames, he burns away all impediments and defilements, thus aiding beings toward enlightenment. The flat rock he stands on symbolizes unshakable peace and bliss, which he bestows on the minds and bodies of his devotees. Kyogen adds Fudo, as Kanzian represents stillness and acceptance in the first precept. Fudo represents loving action, loving kindness, activity, and individuation. Loving action is action that comes from beyond the trap of habit energy. It is selfless action. Fugen action, doing good, blossoms from the seed of Kanzian, stillness, and the home of complete acceptance and clarity, or Buddha refuge. Fudo represents loving action from the centered selfless space of Buddha refuge. Buddha refuge. When we take action from spacious self, Kyogen says, we find Dharma refuge opening in our lives. Here's a silly example of pausing, resting in the moment, noticing habit energy, and places you change and create something new. Twinkle, twinkle, little G, H, I, J, K. What you are. Q, R, S. The sky so high. Row, row, row your boat. How many of you wanted to say twinkle, twinkle, little star? Or have me just continue with twinkle, twinkle, little star and not change the alphabet? But something that simple is just pausing, resting, and having creative changes in the moment. The second part of the second refuge, the Dharma of the Samyaku Sambodhi is the Dharma of all existence, never apart from the present moment. That's a real mouthful. Let's start with, what is Dharma? Rossetto, in Waking Up to What You Do says, "Dharma is constant, unutterable, unattainable, flawless, selfless, and undifferentiated. And at the same time, this all-pervasive mind is charged with possibilities. Dharma is the unnameable source of all of life and living. You, me, trees, rivers, rocks, books, bugs, atoms, dreams and wishes, tears and laughter, the entire world of our everyday life. It includes extinction and killing, speech and lies, attainment and stealing, flaws and slander, self-centered anger, differences and put-downs. But Dharma is even more. It is mutual dependency. Nothing comes about on its own." Unquote. Dharma even includes barbaric war and climate destruction. Roshi Robert Aiken, I'm going to just add what he says about Dharma. Dharma is the mind with capital M. It is vast and fathomless, pure and clear, altogether empty and charged with possibilities. It is the unknown, the unnameable, from which and as which all beings come forth. The beings that come forth also are the Dharma. Beings include people, animals, plants, stones, clouds, postulations, images that appear in dreams, all phenomena. Dharma is the interaction of phenomena and the law of that interaction. Hence, Dharma gates are boundless. Chogyam writes, "Samyak Sambodhi is a Japanese way of saying Anuttara Samyak Sambodhi, which is in Sanskrit means unsurpassed, complete, perfect enlightenment. It is a way of describing Shakyamuni Buddha's enlightenment, which leaves nothing out. The Dharma of this Samyak Samodhi is the Dharma of all existence. This means that this very moment of your life, right now, sitting in front of a Zoom screen or in the Zen Center, in fact, everything that you do and experience is part of Anuttara Sambodhi. But we don't realize it until we awaken to it. We have a tendency to separate ourselves from this experience as beyond our mortal ken. We think it belongs to something other, to some great enlightened being very different from us. This statement says, no, just look at your life really clearly. This is it. As humans, we have karma and are limited as individuals. Each moment, we can only see part of the world. This is the source of delusion. In a wholehearted way, Kosho Uchiyama Roshi writes, quote, "In order to see the whole universe, we have to get out of the universe. But that is impossible. We are already in the world. We are already standing on a certain point, and we only see part of the world each time. Our own world is a kind of fantasy built inside our brains. Each person has this limitation. That is why we have problems, fighting, arguments. The angles we see the world from are different. And Anuttara Samyak Sambodhi, the supreme awareness, is to see that we cannot see the whole world, to understand that we are deluded and limited. This means that we have to let go of our viewpoints. In our sitting zazen, we are freed from our limitations by letting go of our limited views. This is the supreme awareness. And this supreme awareness is not something that we attain, it's not something that we achieve. But when we let go of our limited view, it's there. Before or beyond our perception or thought that I am aware. Just let go of everything, memory or consciousness or whatever. Only when we are actually doing this are we free from the limitations of our individuality. Uchiyama, is that how, yeah, Uchiyama Roshi adds, the expression of the awareness is different for each person. Each person should create his own way of expressing the Anuttara Samyaksabodhi that is already given. Our own life itself is universal and unique. Our life is pervading the whole universe. And yet, my life is just myself. We cannot share our lives with others. So this universality and individuality is completely present at this moment, and we should create our own way of life, our own way of practice, based upon that universal reality. Kyogen says, your life today is just the same as Shakyamuni Buddha's. It's no different than his, and our effort at practice should be no different than his. When he lifted his foot, it should be the same as when we lift our foot. For me, this means even our resistance to becoming awake Buddhas is part of the Dharma. When we take refuge in the Dharma, we recognize that the Dharma gates that we vow to enter to become awake Buddhas truly are boundless. In Dharma refuge, we learn that we share universal needs, joys, and sorrows with all life and are interdependent with all that is. The question is, do we keep our vow to become awake Buddhas, or do we slither into sleepy Buddha energy? The second pure precept is asking us to do selfless action and to take refuge in the Dharma, to recognize that every moment we have the opportunity to do good, cease from adverse habit energy, and to wake up. This is it. This is your life. And I've heard Hogan say that so many times. And on a certain level, I got it, but it's like, oh man, I got it now. I get it, what he means in terms of the relationship with the Dharma. The third pure precept, do good for others. Embrace all things and conditions. Leap beyond the holy and the holy. Let us rescue ourselves together with all beings. So the second one was do good. The third one is do good for others. Once we move from the first pure precept of slipping out of the bonds of old habits, we shift to the second pure precept, doing good, to the third pure precept. And it's not all linear like this. This is just part of the presentation of it. Doing good to the third pure precept, doing selfless action for all, the Sangha. Kyogen says, do good for others because action benefits self and others. Doing good for others, embracing all things, in a word, service, connects us to everything. And in this we find the Sangha refuge. The Bodhisattva vows come to life as we take refuge in Sangha. People, animals, plants, the planet, etc. Now we understand what is really good. Kyogen associates the third precept with Manjushri. Manjushri sits in the main altar, in the middle of the main altar, and you can see that also at Brightway Zen. Manjushri is the Bodhisattva of Prajna, supreme wisdom and insight and great understanding. The understanding we allow to arise when we do this practice, which thereby can make us infinitely happy. Manjushri is able to see our suffering and our difficulties and never blames us or punishes us. He is always beside us to encourage us and shine light upon us. He is present in many guises, in people all around us. He is one of the eight great bodhisattvas who were closest disciples to the Buddha. Do ask Manjushri, may I be fully awakened? How do we embrace all things and conditions? Isn't embracing the whole world too much? Kyogen writes, Manjushri sits on a lion throne, a wild, powerful beast, eyes focused in two directions, capable of much mischief, undisciplined, instinctive, full of desire and impulse. In Manjushri's right hand, he wields a sword of wisdom to cut through ignorance and delusions. In his left hand, he holds a palm leaf manuscript of the Prajna Paramita. Chogan again. The monk sits in serenity. The impulse, desire, and instinct are disciplined into practice, thus becoming the seat of courage and strength, the lion throne of the bodhisattva. We understand a situation from the way we sense it through our bodily senses, which vitalizes our spiritual practice. We have intention toward discipline and equanimity, but we must not set that too much against the original animal side of ourselves. I really like that. Doing good for others. What does that mean? It means allowing the world to affect you. The suffering and the joys of the world become part of our own mind of Zazen. We do this with wisdom. We don't try to separate two fighting tigers or do things that could pull us back into habit energy again. We don't become complacent, nor to become attached to our equanimity. And we don't impose equanimity on vital energy. Instead, we seek the guidance of Manjushri for wisdom to teach us how to embrace the pulsing vitality and wildness of life as it is, and to use this energy skillfully for the benefit of all beings. The third pure precept continues, leap beyond the holy and the unholy. Let us rescue ourselves together with all beings. What does that mean? Chogan says we should be able to move back into the messiness of life without biting off more than we can chew. But we don't turn our backs on the world. We let the world affect us, embracing it in our practice. We move beyond practicing with our thoughts and impulses and gradually realize the whole universe is just our own mind. Everything that happens in this universe is mind to practice with. Again, to me, that's Dharma gates are everywhere. With that attitude, our daily life moves from doing good, which is ceasing from self-attachment, to doing good for others. Chogan says, shut nothing out. Simply allow it to affect you and say yes to affecting all things with your actions. Give up worrying too much about whether your actions meet some perfect standard. Simply engage in life to the best of your abilities. Sometimes what needs attention, our attention, turns out to be ourselves. There's only so much we could do, and we should include ourselves in the formula. This is really moving into full Sangha refuge, taking refuge in the Sangha. That's what this third pure precept is about, Sangha refuge. Doing good for others takes the practice to the bodhisattva level, which is to hold the condition of the world in your own mind. This can't be done all the time, but be open to it, accept it. Choosing to stay engaged and to cultivating this choice is doing good for others. The choosing is the important part. Action arising from a place of non-attachment is selfless. Notice the selfless, well, I'll skip that part. Maybe I'll come back to it. I was going to say something about Ukraine and Russia. Maybe I'll still say it, but anyway, so the first pure precept is about taking refuge in the Buddha, ceasing from evil, resting in the stillness and acceptance of Kanzayan and taking refuge in the Buddha. The second pure precept is doing good, taking action from the centered mind of Buddha. That's also taking refuge in Dharma and seeing Dharma gates everywhere and recognizing that all of the world, everything in it, including us and you and me and everything that we see, is part of Dharma mind. And the third pure precept is about taking refuge in the Sangha. It's moving from just doing good to doing good for others. This leads to what Dogen refers to as the four wisdoms: charity, tenderness, benevolence, and sympathy. And this all comes from Kyogen. Charity is the release of our attachment to things. We're offering in a way we ourselves get nothing at all. Tenderness is to behold all beings with the eye of compassion and to speak kindly to them. Dogen says, if one would understand tenderness, one must speak to others while thinking that one loves all living beings as if they were one's own children. Tenderness is giving of self to be able to respond to and connect with people in a generous way from the self. Connection with people in a place that is released of self-attachment. Benevolence is the same connection, but with understanding. Connect with tenderness and create wise ways of helping beings, letting wisdom arise in response. And sympathy, identifying with that which is not oneself. Sympathy does not distinguish between self and others. Through this wisdom of interaction, we truly receive what another being is all about, perceive what another person is all about. The key is to identify with that which is not oneself. Having a sudden insight into another person, very different from ourselves, who they are, what their life is like. And then finally mentions, Kyogen mentions in the Sangha refuge of the third pure precept, there are three levels of dana or generosity relating to the three pure precepts. One, give away what you hold on to for yourself. This relates to letting go, coming to zero. You stop holding on for yourself and you share. This is Buddha refuge. Two, give to others what they would want for themselves. You understand and include others. That's Dharma refuge. And three, give what is truly good, starting from compassion, which is letting go, to loving kindness, which is paying attention to others, to wisdom, which is understanding what is really good. And that's Sangha refuge. I think, Bob, well, I could give some examples, but Bob, maybe if you'd want to put up I'll just say this one other thing from, okay. This is something I put together as a summary of what I just said, and it's basically adapted. Can people see this? I don't know if they can or not, because I can't see what's going on in the Zoom when the screen is up. But hopefully you can see it, and it's, I don't know if you can move down the page. I can't. Okay, thanks, Tyler. So, and then if you go back up, so it's just a summary. If you would like to have it, I could email it to you of all the words that I just said. If you can go back up, of what the three pure precepts are, And for me, key words or basically key words to just sum up what they are about. And for me, I did this so that I could just have a sense, almost like a little pocket thing to remind me of what they are and vitalize my practice with it. So I'll open up to any comments. There's a lot of words and it might be just blah, 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 and too much. But if there are any comments or questions, I also could share some examples from my own life, but I didn't get into it while I was going because I didn't know how long this would take. And I can't see if anybody's raising their hand or anything, so.
I'm raising my hand. This is Jinryu.
Okay.
Thank you, Yeshe Soki, for this. This is wonderful. I did this last year, and so my question is a kind of a curious question for you. You said, I hope this isn't too much blah 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 or whatever words you just used. To me, these three pure precepts were just blah blah blah. I mean, what are they saying really? But when you start to dig into it, I found them to be so profound and something that you could really take personally. I wonder what your reaction is to them now that you have spent this time really digging
Oh,
into them.
no, even before when I read them and I saw that there was an invitation to, so even before I had started working on them, when I read what Kyogen had to say about them, I just lit up and I immediately went to that sign up and sheet and said, I'm doing the three pure precepts. And it was only then that I actually really read and got into them more, but I was totally ignited. Totally ignited. And to me, this is the touchstone. The pure precepts to me are the touchstone, the absolute complete full guide to how to navigate through the gray precepts. To me, without this, the gray precepts are, they could be the Ten Commandments. I'm sorry if that's offending anybody, but these three pure precepts that Dogen put in to me are brilliant and they touch me on such a deep level. And that Kyogen, when I read Kyogen connecting them with the three refuges and also connecting them with the archetypal energies of the three bodhisattvas, that to me was just like bell ringing out. I was like, a little cartoon character with my legs spinning around and little light bulbs going off in my head. It was just jumping up and down with excitement. So for me, it's not at all blah blah, but it was just ecstatic. Yeah, to me, this is like I said, it's the blueprint. It's the scaffolding for how, at least for me, how to navigate through practice and through the gray precepts. It's essential for me.
This is Betty.
Hi,
I
Betty.
just I want to thank you very much for your presentation, because it was reading it is just for the first, well, not the first time, but second or third time. It's still thick material, and you've really put it together in a more understandable way for me, particularly the first one that sees from evil, your examples and the list of sort of evil doings, for lack of a better word, was really helpful for me. So I really appreciate, thank you. And I'd really love to have a copy of the summary sheet that you put together.
Sure. If I can, I'm sure some of the tech people will know how I can do that.
Great. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Well, this is a very non-tech way of doing it, but if after the class you just send this out to the Brightway Zen Google group, and then those of us who want it could keep it, would that be too much?
Nope. I think one of the things when I was doing this was, well, like one of the examples I had was long ago, I used to do a lot of magical thinking. And magical thinking would be a form of quote unquote evil because it's self-attachment. It was just thinking, if I just thought this hard enough and ruminated enough, I could actually change the course of time and go back to this juncture and make it different, make the outcome different. And I also do with a certain way of walk where I would notice when I didn't know the term present. I just didn't know it. I just knew, I called it video walking. And that when I walked in video walking, I was very aware of things. And when I wasn't, my mind was scrambled. And every day I had to walk through an arboretum. And for some reason, that was my Dharma field for practice. And as I would walk through, any time that I wasn't in video mind, what I call video mind, or that I caught myself in magical thinking, I would stop, literally just stop. Maybe I only took one step. Maybe I took three steps. Sometimes it took me a long time to get through that arboretum, but I would just stop and go back to what is referred to here as go back to center. And sometimes I would question myself about, with the magical thinking, I'd say, is this helping you? Can you really go back in time? And just questioning what I was doing. And I would do that over and over every time I went through that arboretum, whether I was going or coming. And eventually what happened was I wasn't doing magical thinking anymore. And I was staying in more in quote unquote, what I call video mind, which many years later I realized, oh, that's staying in the present. So that's just a form when I put it in this context. Yes, it's releasing self-attachment, it's ceasing from evil. It was doing good because I was ceasing from evil. And I was also in this great Dharma field and entering Dharma gates every time I was stopping myself and re-correcting myself. So then I was just thinking when I was preparing for this, all this Zen Buddha language for me took on a vitality and a life that I could incorporate into my everyday life. It wasn't just some esoteric terminology. And I think also the chilling part of recognizing that the Dharma does include everything, including a barbaric war and including climate destruction. It's not just all about flowers and butterflies. And it all is just as it is. Which doesn't mean we don't do anything, because we have Sangha refuge. So it's just all this beautiful, universal. It's beyond Indra's net. It's way beyond Indra's net. It's just so much more. I don't really know what else to say. It's exciting.
This is Betty again. Mm-hmm. I just going back to the first precept, the cease from evil. I think I watched too many shows like The Omen and The Exorcist when I was a kid. And so the concept of evil has all this weird religious under and overtones in my head. Mm-hmm. So I guess I just need to change my thinking about what evil means, you know, and changing that to this concept of self-attachment and how self-attachment can have a negative impact on me and the world, or, you know, the people in my life. Anyway, I just can't let go of that.
I think many people, especially coming from a Judeo-Christian background, and I don't know about other religions, so I can't speak about them, but sin and evil is very different. It's used very differently than it is here. That's one of the reasons that's also exciting to me. Oh, so when I do the Gata of Atonement, that's what I'm releasing.
Yeah, Shay, this is Domio. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, and we also, in our translation of the Kyoju Kaimon here, I changed it from evil to harmful action.
Yeah.
just because of that, exactly, like Betty's saying, just because of the baggage, even though, like you said, you did a wonderful job of describing how we're approaching that term, but just so people, if they're looking in the translations that we read, we say harmful action in the karma verse also.
I actually, when I have the chant, I have it both ways. Because I remember asking you once, how come there's these two different ways of saying it? Because there's the Dharma Rain way, and then there's the Great Vow way. And I preferred one way over the other. But looking at it from the first pure precept, I understand. And that's another piece of baggage of viewing evil, the use of evil, only one way that I can just let go of. Another attachment, so to speak.
Thank you very much for that. It's helpful.
Yeah, one of my struggles with, I guess, with attachment and any kind of, like, I don't know, the terms like evil, or even any kind of what did Domia say, harmful action, all that implies to me kind of a self perspective, a perspective coming from ego, which is contradictory at the same time. And so, you know, these evaluations that we create are always from the position, point of view of self. And so maybe this is something that I will always struggle with. And maybe this comes down to the duality part, you know, of Buddhism and just all that in general. So just a comment, I'm, you know, just my normal confusion.
A couple of things. I don't know who's talking. I can't tell who's talking.
Well, that's frequent. Yeah.
Okay. So there's one thing that perhaps I misunderstood, and maybe you could clarify for me. Did you say something about this evil is contradiction with ego? Would you just say that again, please?
Oops. Oh, shoot. My. So hold it. I'm having speaker problems right now. Can you hear me? Okay, sorry about that. I missed your question. Sorry, because in my speaker,
I wasn't clear. It seemed like you were saying something about self-attachment being separate from ego. I didn't follow.
No, my point was that whenever we make any kind of evaluation of whether something is harmful or evil or whatever, it comes from this perspective of what I would call, you know, kind of an ego attachment, or I guess a perspective of self, right? Which often, which seems contradictory to me in terms of what we're talking about, especially with this first, you know, precept, the first section of the precept. I'm not probably explaining it very well, but it's an evaluation. And whenever we evaluate, then it seems to me that we're stuck in this small I kind of perspective, right? Like,
I think I may not be understanding what you're saying. So yeah. I apologize ahead if I'm misunderstanding you. But my understanding of the first precept is we are letting go that ego and that small I.
Yeah, and I think go ahead.
Go on.
Right. So, and I think that is the point of it, and I think you're right about that. But then when we talk about, we start evaluating things, then we're not letting go of that perspective. I guess that's my point. It seems mutual. I don't know. It's contradictory. And I guess maybe it's just the limitation of words in some way, right? Like, language becomes this sort of barrier to, because it's always from this perspective of you or me or whatever, right? So.
I guess I may not be understanding you, but my sense of the first refuge is that we're letting go of that perspective of me, myself, and I. And it's all about me and the self-attachment and the self, self-indulgence of me, myself, and I. From my sense of the first pure precept and resting in Kanzian, which is stillness, when I'm with me, myself, and I, when I'm with my ego, there's always some dukkha. There's always something that's just a little not quite right. Some little bit of restlessness that has to be adjusted and tweaked and made just so for me, myself, and I to have satisfaction. And this is saying, poof, let that go. Just let it go. Accept and rest in absolute stillness. Not all these ripples. Don't become these ripples. Rest in the stillness. That's what one of the things I said, rest in the stillness of the lake.
Right.
And
Yeshe,
maybe you can chime in.
It's after nine. Do you have a closing comment, or should I do the closing verse?
You can do the closing verse. Thanks for noticing the time. I apologize.
No problem. All right. We thank you very much, by the way. Many bows. We offer the merit of this Sangha meeting to all so that they may be able to obtain the truth. All Buddhas throughout space and time, all honored ones, Bodhisattvas, Mahasattvas, wisdom beyond wisdom, Maha Prajna Paramita.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Yeshe.
You're welcome. Bob.